They can help create a better lifestyle for you and yours. So we're discussing creating healthier, happier family meals. Our guest, Bettina Tassin. She's a registered dietitian and network diabetes program manager for Cook County Health's Division of Endocrinology. This is Total Health Talks, your Cook County Health podcast. In each episode, we bring you insights, stories, and expert discussions on all things related to health and wellness, from innovative medical treatments to community health initiatives and everything in between. Thanks for joining us. I'm Joey Waller. Hi there, Bettina. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you aboard. So first, in a nutshell, what exactly do we mean by the term family meal and why are they so important?
So a family meal is any grouping of people who live in a household, parents, children, multi-generational families, friends living together, significant families, people that you care about and can share meals together. Family meals are super powerful. They can lead to great well-being, both mental and physical. It is a way, for instance, for children to learn how to have healthy meals at the family table. It's a way to share and feel connection. They are also frequently sources of stress because that can also be where conflicts come out. Children who are picky eaters, parents who are worried about their elderly parents having health concerns. So how we approach family meals really makes a difference. If we approach them the right way, the healthy way, people can really experience very positive health gains.
Well, you touched on it just a bit there, Bettina, but maybe expand, please, a little bit on some of those challenges in creating healthy family meals. We're talking about time. We're talking about the ability to cook. We're talking about who likes or whose health issues mean they need to eat what, right? All of the above.
Exactly. So you're talking a lot about people will feel very overwhelmed. They're not sure, how can I schedule these family meals? What can I put on the table? How do I take into account that my youngest doesn't like certain vegetables, or that my 84-year-old mother doesn't want to be eating certain foods or is eating too much of certain foods? I don't feel comfortable with my cooking. I don't have time to shop. I just don't know what to do, and I'm lacking for inspiration. So there can be a lot going on that makes me kind of a little bit stressed out when I'm putting together my family meals.
So that's a lot to digest, pun intended. Therefore, how can families identify what'll work best for them? How do you sift through all of that?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. The key to that is listening. So when you're with people that you really care about, two things can happen. One, I may feel that I know people so well that I'm making assumptions when really I need to be asking what would make them feel more joyful, more nourished at a meal. Another thing is I may have so much anxiety because I care about these people. So for instance, I might have anxiety about my youngest not eating enough, not growing enough. So I may be pushing foods more assertively than I intended to, or I may have an elderly parent where I'm concerned about what they're eating because I'm afraid maybe they're losing too much weight or they're making their heart disease worse, something like that. So I really want to be asking, listening, talking with the family, planning with the family. And if I really have a lot of overwhelm, like let's say there are some serious health conditions like diabetes, heart disease, maybe I want to be bringing in some professionals like my doctor, like a registered dietitian. So maybe it's something that I can handle on my own, but if I do feel a big sense of overwhelm, maybe it's time to bring in some professionals.
Gotcha. So that being said, since there are often times when people's individual needs, dietary-wise, need to be catered to, how do you balance trying to get everyone to eat kind of the same thing on the one hand for the sake of ease, if nothing else, while on the other hand, you've got to tailor things to people's specific individual taste?
excellent question. And again, family meals in the best possible light, we want them to be times of joy and nourishment. So again, discussion, talking together, let's plan these meals as a group. It shouldn't be, this isn't a restaurant, shouldn't be one person who is responsible for everything. So maybe once a week or every couple of days, depending on what the schedule is like in the family, let's sit down and plan what the next couple of meals are. Let's talk about what's your favorite meal, maybe what's something that we want to repeat, who wants to do the grocery shopping, who loves grocery shopping, who doesn't love grocery shopping, because some people love it, some people hate it. I want to be planning. And I also want to be planning who's going to cook. Again, if I have children and if they're a certain age, let's get them cooking because then they feel more ownership in the meal. They are gaining more skills in the meal, things like that. Let's also plan together who does the setup. After the cooking, who does the cleaning? Let's make this something more equitable so it's more participatory so that everybody feels comfortable together. Let's also consider maybe different ways of serving the meal. So you could do, for instance, a deconstructed meal, which is very much like family style. We all know what family style is in a restaurant where, you know, maybe there's the bowl of pasta, the plate of chicken, the soup tureen that we can all dip into. And maybe you want to consider family style for your own family where, for instance, one good, easy family meal is what we call a power bowl. There will be like, for instance, a whole grain. It could be quinoa, it could be brown rice, black rice, something like that. Whatever the grain is there. It could be the veggies. It could be the protein. Maybe you have a vegetarian in the family and a meat in the family. So maybe there's some tofu and there's also some cooked chicken. And family members can put the meals together as what's appropriate to them. So you don't have to fight over who's eating the chicken, who's eating the tofu. Maybe somebody wants more rice while somebody doesn't like the rice as much. People are creating their own plates, but you're together as a family. So that's maybe one suggestion of getting the family together, and you want to be doing it together as a group.
Understood. And one thing you hit on there that definitely struck a chord with me, Bettina, is trying to plan ahead at least several days, if not a week in advance, because I know that's a lot less stress than wondering every morning or afternoon, oh, what's for dinner tonight, right?
Exactly. And you might also want to be planning in those days where it's like, I know that Wednesday, you know, the oldest child has a game, I'm going to be working late, you know, somebody else has a class somewhere. So you also want to be planning in, maybe that's the day we do leftovers, maybe that's pizza night where we order in the pizza, maybe that's the night we have from our stockpile of frozen meals in the freezer, that's what we're going to be doing, because we don't want to be adding stress. And we do realize that not every day is going to be everybody at the table. But if we plan ahead, it's like, okay, I know what to expect. These are my days where we're all together and we're cooking. These are the days where we have backup plans for when we just don't have enough time for this.
I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago. You mentioned chicken, you mentioned brown rice. What are a few other foods or meals that are simple and relatively easy to prepare that you would say most everyone likes and that are pretty healthy for just about everyone?
Well, I never want to assume what everybody likes because the great thing about people is we have a lot of diversity. One thing that most dietitians, most healthcare providers will promote is what we call the healthy plate, where we have lots of veggies on the plate. So maybe half the plate is veggies, quarter plate is your protein source, quarter plate is your grain. All menus should kind of fall from that. But within every family, it's going to be different veggies, different grains, different proteins. That all depends on your personal taste palate. That all depends on your cultural background. You might be want to cooking it different ways. So for instance, in some families, lasagna might be a very easy thing to put together. It's also a great one to freeze. But other families might be like, that's too much pasta. That's too much. So it really depends on your own cultural meal. But you do bring up a good point that most families, you have like three or four meals that are in rotation. And sometimes you will be like, I should have more. But no, figure out with the family, these are the three or four that if we think of nothing else, let's make sure maybe we have the lemon chicken with the asparagus on the side and the roasted potatoes. Maybe for the next family, it is, I love a good curry. Let's do the big pot of curry. And we love the basmati, right? And then the next family is, I want to have the cornbread. I love the lima beans. I love the collard greens. So, you know, after a while, most families have, these are our favorite meals. Make sure you get those into rotation, but you do always want to have the element of make sure the veggies are there, make sure that you get some whole grains, and make sure also your protein sources aren't breaded, deep fried, things like that.
Okay. And I love the use of the word rotation there because that's really what it is, right? It's a constant rotation of certain favorites. A couple of other things. How much easier and better is it to establish healthy family meals, Bettina, when kids are very young?
Very important and very frequent question. So there are even studies saying you can even start for those mothers, not to put more stress on mothers, but you can even get them started in the womb. So one thing you might even want to consider is when you're pregnant, eat as many variety of flavors as you want, because studies show that the more the mom eats different flavors, the more the kid coming out will likely be able to tolerate different flavors. But then the other thing is parents also sometimes have their own food issues, but we want to be modeling appropriate or healthy behaviors. So show that even when you maybe are having some problems with a certain food, don't be like, but you can show them instead saying, oh yeah, not for me. So a good point is when kids are eating something or that you didn't think they were going to eat, or they're not eating something because they don't like it, don't make a big deal out of it. Sort of be like, oh, I'm so happy you took the broccoli today, move on. Or other days, they're not feeling the cabbage or whatever, be like, okay, not for you today. But that will show kids you want to be lowering that anxiety. You want to be showing that different days you can eat different things. And also with kids, kids are very experimental. So if it turns out, for instance, I have a coworker who said when he was a child, he was a very picky eater. And I asked, what would have helped you as a child to be less of a picky eater? And he's like, if they had given it to me more often in different ways. And for instance, this is going back to the asking, if they had asked, his issue was more with texture. He liked things that were crisper. So for instance, a lot of kids don't like the strong flavors of broccoli or cabbage or something like that, but they might like it if it's raw rather than overcooked. Or maybe they like it paired with something else. So consider making small, sometimes samples. Just have them try it. If they don't like it, they move on. If they do like it, note to self, I will maybe put that into the rotation. Kids change over time. Don't try it once. And if they don't like it, never do it again. Try it another way again. So try again.
How about what are some behaviors or environmental changes, so to speak, that will help lead to more family mealtime enjoyment?
Again, another excellent question. So we live in the age of cell phones, tablets, distractions. We live in an age of distractions. So maybe one thing you want to do is have certain rules about the phone goes away, the tablet goes away. This is our time to be together. This is the time where we are sharing. So you want to create an environment where it's free of distractions. This is our time. And again, as we've talked about already, you want to be sharing. So the together time may include some of the kids are prepping in the kitchen, the veggies, we're cooking together. Also, some of the techniques that you use. A lot of families use different appliances to help manage their time. Instant pots are very popular. Air fryers are very popular. Certain techniques like roasting in the oven, they allow you to, once it's all together, you can go off and do other things. And those other things should be chit-chatting with each other, because the meal is both the food that you are eating, but it is the atmosphere of being together, sharing, caring. These shouldn't be times of stress. They should be like, yay, we get to spend this time together.
Absolutely. And finally, Bettina, in summary here, what are some resources available to improve access to healthier food and for creating those healthier meals?
Fortunately, we live in a very resource-rich environment. For those people, budget sometimes is an issue. So, and obviously, we've seen a lot of news stories these days about food being very expensive. So for certain people, if they need the help, we strongly advise check into your SNAP benefits. Definitely check in with the Chicago Food Depository for local pantries. A lot of community programs have food programs. So definitely check into food access programs if you need them. In addition, a lot of, for instance, health insurance companies give you more access, more ideas about food. For instance, County Care has, for all of its members, free access to Food Smart, which is working with a registered dietitian, but also grocery vouchers through Instacart. So check in with your insurer and see what access you have there. In terms of ideas, so many options. Your local library, picking up cookbooks, maybe even picking up books for helping kids learn how to cook, things like that. Almost all the libraries have digital access to different food magazines. Google is something that many people use. If suddenly you see that cabbage is cheap in the supermarket and you're not sure what to do with that cabbage, just Google it. See what you want to be doing with that. Look for community cooking programs. And if you want to be thinking big picture, you can also get involved beyond just the family meal and consider maybe either doing a family garden, or if we don't have space for that, joining a community garden. There are a lot of growing programs that will then help you and your children or your grandparents feel more connected to the food that is out there.
Well, folks, we trust you're now more familiar with creating those healthier, happier family meals. Bettina, great information. Bon appetit. Thanks so much again.
Great. Thank you so much.
And for more information, as well as to subscribe to their podcast, please visit cookcountyhealth.org/podcast. Again, that's cookcountyhealth.org/podcast. If you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social media. And stay tuned for more engaging discussions just like this. I'm Joey Waller, and thanks so much again for listening to Total Health Talks, your Cook County Health Podcast.